is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. The City of Kingston is moving forward with a proposal to endorse a public municipal service corporation, MSC, for water and wastewater. The vote at June 16th council meeting came after a lengthy discussion between councillors and staff, which saw numerous delegations appearing at the start of the evening to express their concerns about the project. The report noted that the City of Kingston, like other municipalities in Ontario, has been trying to address a backlog of infrastructure repairs while also planning for infrastructure expansion to meet the needs of a growing population. Mayor Patterson had this to say.
The Association of Municipalities in Ontario is not against MSCs. I know this because I have served on the board of this organization for a number of years. They are actively encouraging municipalities to look at this model with caveats, many of the caveats that we're talking about tonight. And you know why? Because guess what? Kingston is not the only city in the province that is trying to figure out how to deal with the financial challenges in front of us.
Delegates shared their concerns, including opinions that the report was biased in favor of an MSC model.
Good evening, Mayor and Councillors. My name is David McDonald, and I'm here tonight to share my concerns with the proposed MSC for water and wastewater services. By way of background, I have spent 30 years studying public services and public financing as the director of an international research consortium. I've worked with governments and public institutions in more than 50 countries on questions of infrastructure, municipal finance, and service delivery. I begin with this because I want to make one thing very clear. I am not opposed to the idea of a municipal services corporation. There's nothing inherently good or bad about municipal corporations. Success depends entirely on the details. Governance, accountability, financing, transparency, and public oversight. At its core, this decision is presented as a financial one. Yet many of the most important financial assumptions are either unexplained, underexplained, or framed in a way that favors the MSC model over the current Utilities Kingston model.
Other concerns arose around governance. Something that came up repeatedly in Council's questions to staff was some citing issues identified with existing structures at Utilities Kingston.
Can you highlight some of the issues that you see currently with the governance structure of Utilities Kingston and what you think may happen with the governance structure for an MSC?
Yeah, the proposal is quite weak on the governance side, I think intentionally so, you know, saying, look, we need to look more at governance. But what is there very distinctly removes decisions from council members around borrowing and investments, major, major expenditures. The only real veto, if you will, that council would have is on water rates. Now, to what extent council members will have the necessary information and the political will to challenge a even further arm's length removed municipal services corporation than it currently does with Utilities Kingston is genuinely of concern. Decisions about where to borrow money from, how much money to borrow, how much money to invest, those things would be done at arm's length by a municipal services council. And the proposal also basically says subject area expertise would sit on the board, which historically has meant engineers and finance people. And so there's nobody there doing work on affordability, on homelessness, on housing, other things that water and sanitation services are just so utterly relevant to.
If we stay with the current Utilities Kingston model, are there things that we could do to improve the governance there as well?
Utilities Kingston is a remarkable entity. I often cite it in my academic work as a multi-service provider that does an excellent job efficiently, safely, but could you make it also more robust and more democratic and more transparent and more engaging? Absolutely. The danger of removing it from that kind of democratic engagement and oversight in the way that's proposed in this report is that you lose the potential of doing that. So I think the UK is in a much better position to have that kind of public engagement to enhance its publicness and make that more robust.
Councillor Tozo was less confident about this assertion.
From a governance perspective, I actually think Utilities Kingston has some issues. It's a self-appointed board. We sit as shareholders as council. We have the mayor and CAO as board members, but we don't actually get involved in day-to-day board meetings. Do you think that there is an opportunity with a new organization to revamp its governance and revamp its oversight and accountability by starting it from zero? Because trust me, I've dealt with organizations that are already entrenched. It's very hard to change governance once they're in place.
Well, the silver lining here may be this is an opportunity to restructure Utilities Kingston. We are remarkably privileged to have these resources, to have them publicly owned, and to have them well run. Can Utilities Kingston be governed better? Absolutely. Do we want to take a risk based on numbers that really don't show meaningful comparisons on the hope that we might be able to create a better governance structure with a whole new corporation that is inherently further removed from council? I don't know. I just find that too big of a risk.
As it stands now, Utilities Kingston has no ability to issue its own debt for water or wastewater services, meaning funding for asset renewal and expansion must be secured through City of Kingston. Debt-related water and wastewater infrastructure currently represents about 40% of the long-term debt issued by the City of Kingston, and in 2025, Council approved an additional yearly investment of about $100 million. The City's other renewal investments, including roads, transit, transportation, parks, fleet, recreation, culture, affordable housing, airport, and employment lands, require a forecasted investment of $128 million per year, bringing the total annual cost to $228 million, even with a reduction in current levels of service. City staff argue that the current financial model cannot meet current and future asset needs, even with significant tax and fee increases on a yearly basis. It seemed that much of the confusion in the report centered around debt reallocation, budget projections, and the cost of borrowing in both systems. The city's current total debt balance is expected to increase to $475 million at the end of this year, of which about 40% relates to water and wastewater infrastructure. Staff argue that removing 40% of the city's debt from the city's book and onto the MSC will provide the city with more than $20 million in additional debt capacity without increasing property taxes and municipal fees. CAO Hurdle had this to say.
I want to be clear that ultimately, no matter which model the city decides to implement, there would be a rate increase. Because in order to bridge the financial gap for asset management, we can't do that with 4%.
Councillor Glenn questioned how a municipal service corporation could borrow at a higher rate and still save taxpayer money.
So can someone please explain how the municipal services corporation can borrow at a higher rate and then still end up saving money? Because I think that's one of the questions fundamentally people would like to understand.
So the borrowing rate combined with the ability to extend the repayment terms allows for, at the end of the 10-year period in the model, an additional $10 million available. So it all has to do with not just the rate, but the entire terms of the financing.
In the report, there's a question about the rate of borrowing for Utilities Kingston would be 5.25%. How do we get to that number?
The 5.25% was arrived at through some discussions with lenders that aren't Infrastructure Ontario. It is a very conservative number. Basically, 20 basis points was added to that number in the financial modeling that I did to be conservative. Kingston Hydro Corporation has a very similar structure where it holds the assets, liabilities, etc. And Kingston Hydro's current average debt rate for third-party lenders at the end of 2025 was 3.82%. And the loans taken out in 2025 were for 4.25%.
Several councillors, including Councillor Tozo and Amos, acknowledged that current debt levels paired with aging infrastructure was an issue that could not be ignored.
Is an MSC an ideal way to build infrastructure and to finance it over a longer term period? I I hate debt. I wish we had more revenue streams from the province of Ontario. We don't control that. What we control, again, is user fees, debt, and taxes. And debt has to play a picture on how we fund our infrastructure. It simply has to. MSCs are going to enter the picture because it makes sense that if we're investing in critical infrastructure, that people over a longer term period of time do have to pay for it.
Right now, we are locked in a debt spiral with lack of income coming in, and we need to ensure that we have the right mechanisms in place.
Councillor McLaren, however, shared his concerns.
There will be additional costs that we will be responsible for in some way or another, especially if things go bad, and things can go bad. Just recently, you may recall, we had a problem with the taxi commission, even though we had council representation on it. The risk and the problem that's been identified by people is financialization, the changing of the values from helping people, from building infrastructure for the community, to maximizing revenue so that you can get more debt. The way I see this, it looks like to me we're asking for a second credit card without increasing our revenue.
The report noted that City Council would retain the authority to approve user rates with recommendations from the Public Municipal Service Corporation, and MSC's budget approvals and debt issuances would be subject to City Council rate approvals, as is the case with Utilities Kingston in the current model.
Utilities Kingston, as the operating authority and the licensed operator, would continue to do exactly what it does today.
Councillors noted concerns from constituents that this model could open the door to privatization in future, something that staff shot down.
Are there any concerns that an MSC model could move us closer to privatization? That's come up so much in all the emails that we've received.
Yeah, I mean, I think that those concerns were valid on the basis of the KPMG report, the public-facing report that first came out, and the way that was structured and KPMG's history and the language embedded in that report. I think that this staff report that came out subsequently, you know, made it clear that that's not the objective.
I want to be crystal clear to the public and the community, the governing body of the Corporation of the City of Kingston uniformly rejects privatization of our water and wastewater services. However this goes forward, if it passes or fails, we are not going to privatize your water and wastewater.
Even with council approval at this meeting, the process for the implementation of a public municipal service corporation will require future city council decisions, including a shareholder declaration and asset transfer.
This is not complete. There's still lots of work to do for implementation. You know, we're proposing to bring the first step, recognizing that there will be a minimum of two additional decision points for council.
The KPMG business case for the Municipal Service Corporation was posted on the Get Involved Kingston website on December 4th, 2025. Community members were invited to read the report, which outlined the proposal, details on the proposed government structure, financial considerations, and an overview of an implementation plan. Visitors were then invited to complete a short survey to provide feedback and ask questions, or to submit feedback offline and via email. The survey ran until January 19th, 2026, and showed that 70% of respondents were not supportive of the proposed public MSC. Delegates complained that the city buried the MSC's public engagement period by running it over the holidays when civic engagement was likely to be low.
Christine Sipnowich, chair of the Coalition of Kingston Communities. Utilities Kingston and city staff decided to pursue the MSC more than 2 years ago in March 2024. It wasn't until December 2025 that the city issued a public release. The only opportunity for public input was a survey held over the holiday season, which showed 70% of respondents were against the plan. The city held no public meetings, no town halls. Why is this important issue, the stewardship of clean drinking water and the disposal of wastewater, being rushed?
Councillor Amos urged his colleagues to take a cautious approach to the decision.
We need strong guardrails in place. We need something that keeps everything accountable and 100% transparent for us as council and for public to be aware of it. We are so far behind as a city. It is crushing us in many ways, and we need to further explore what this MSC can do to assist in both avenues.
Mayor Patterson had the final word prior to the vote.
I think that this is the right approach. We are cautiously endorsing based on the information that we have. If the information changes, we can absolutely change direction here.
In the end, the motion passed, carrying by a vote of 8-4.
Councillor Osanek, Glenn, McLaren, and Shinani opposed.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your CFRC Power Plays Sports Report. And I'm joined in studio today by two Olympic hopefuls, James Fair and Alex McDonald. James, Alex, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
If you wouldn't mind just giving the folks at home a quick introduction to who you are and what the Olympic dream is looking like.
Yeah, so my name is James Fair. I'm from Kingston, Ontario originally. I'm also a Queen's student at Queen's University studying mechanical engineering. I've been sailing my whole life. I started at the Kingston Yacht Club when I was around 4 or 5 years old, began racing when I was 8, all the way up to the national team level. And then I started shooting for the Olympic dream just in the last couple of years.
And I am originally from Australia, as you can tell by my accent. And I learned to sail when I was a kid, and coached a little bit, but it wasn't my primary sport. I was a rower for most of high school and the beginning of university. I started uni in Australia, and then I actually transferred to Queen's halfway through my degree. So I'm a dual Canadian and Australian citizen. And then I met James about a year ago, and he introduced me to sailing at this sort of level, and we had 3 weeks of intense training, and we went for our first regatta, and it's kind of sprung from there.
One of the big things we've picked up on is this connection kind of from a younger age with the water, with sailing. Was it something that came from the parents? Was there always kind of a natural attraction for it? I guess the big question is, what drew you guys to the world of sailing?
For me, it was definitely my dad. So my dad is an avid sailor since he was pretty young as well. He's podiumed at world championships multiple times. And so I've always had him as a coach and supporter throughout my life and to look up to.
Yeah, and for myself, growing up on the water and doing numerous different water sports, I just love being out there. And coming from a rowing background, you're really pushing yourself hard and, you know, striving for an ambitious goal. What better goal to push myself towards?
Can you talk a little bit about the mixed 470 sailing class in general? Because certainly I'm no sailing expert, and I think it's a sport that maybe a lot of our listeners are not super familiar with. So can you give us a quick rundown of mixed 470 and maybe talk about why you guys may in fact be the first Canadians to qualify?
Absolutely. So the mixed 470 class, in the name you can see it's mixed, so that means one male, one female. So it's a two-person boat. The boat has been in the Olympics since the 76 Olympics when it was first hosted in Kingston. But the mixed 470 class, it's a new change since the Tokyo Olympics, where they've switched from a separate male and female category over to the mixed category.
Yeah, and then I think in Canada, there's, you know, only a handful of teams at the moment. So, we're hoping to be the... Sorry. In Canada, there's only a couple of teams, and we haven't had a boat go to the Olympics for Canada in the mixed 470, so if we make it, we would be the first.
Now that we've kind of set the stage, we've talked about the background, we've talked about the new changes to the event, how can our listeners at home help support this Olympic dream?
So there's many ways. Firstly would be, you know, following us on our social media and keeping up to date with what we're doing. Our Instagram is Team Canada 470. And then next would be our fundraiser. So we have a really exciting fundraiser on the 26th of June that we've planned at the Kingston Yacht Club. There's going to be lots of exciting things, auctions, raffles, music, food and drinks. So yeah, to come along would be the best way.
And yeah, so that event's going to be running from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's free admission, and anybody who comes, we recommend a donation of $20 to $25, but anybody's welcome to join, and we're just happy to have people there.
100%, and I love that very accessible number, that $20 to $25, because I think, especially when it comes to sailing, maybe a sport people aren't familiar with, they don't really know what that cost point could look like, but by encouraging, yeah, those smaller entry-level donations, I think that's a great way to not just work towards the goal, but foster a sense of community, because what you're looking to do is a pretty profound thing. You are looking to represent an entire country, and I think that's a really beautiful goal to strive for, and For our podcast listeners, we will have a link to that event in the description. For our radio listeners, I'm just going to reiterate. So it's the social media account one more time.
Is TeamCanada470 on Instagram.
And I'm assuming you'll be posting more event details closer to the date. And it's June 26th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Kingston Yacht Club. It's an event with local connections, a Kingston and Queens connection that is looking to power a couple of young athletes all the way to the 2028 Summer Games. James, Alex, thank you very much for your time. All the best. I am looking forward to following the ongoing accomplishments of Team Canada, and a pretty historic thing here. We really appreciate you giving some time to CFRC to amplify your dream, your goals, and we've got our fingers crossed. We'll be making a donation. We wish you all the best.
Of course. Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks for having us.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, June 24th, 21 was your high, felt closer to 24, dropping down to 16 degrees overnight. Thursday, June 25th, 20 is the high, feeling closer to 22, but there is a 55% chance of precipitation in the afternoon, and actually a thunderstorm warning at that. Friday, June 26th, a sun and cloud mix with showers throughout the day, but they won't last very long, just quick little rain spritzes. High of 21, quite sunny when it's not raining, with a max UV index of 10, so make sure you put on your sunscreen if you're heading outside, dropping down to 15 overnight. Saturday, June 27th, 23 is your high. Looks like it'll be a beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston, dropping down to 14 overnight. Sunday, June 28th, 23, once again your high, but very, very warm and humid, with a 63% chance of rain and a feel of about 30 degrees. So when it's not raining, it's going to be very sunny, very hot. Dress accordingly. Monday, June 29th, 25 is your high, with a 55% chance of precipitation, dropping down to 17 overnight. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Expect delays on Bath Road from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Portsmouth Ave for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing IPS at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. IPS are being installed at the following intersections: Bath Road at Lafleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. Wright Crescent at Palace Road is closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Starting June 15th, Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive is closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users, including students, families, and local residents. Berry Street to Queen is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. And worth noting that select areas of downtown near the King Street East and West sections will be closed for the FIFA Canada Celebrates event at Springer Market Square on June 27th to the 28th.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny. And this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, workshops, markets, art exhibits, or something fun to do around the city, there is plenty of happening in Kingston this week, so let's get into it. On Wednesday, the Biosciences Complex hosts the Preferred Supplier Trade Show from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., while Thrive 365 presents Watercolor Flow, Finding Motivation and Connection in McIntosh Quarry Hall. Teens can head to Rideau Heights Branch for games and grub later in the afternoon. In the evening, you'll find plenty of ways to get involved around the city, including board game night at the Legion, karaoke at Timeout Bar, music trivia at Riverhead Brewing, and Euchre Night at La Vida Brewstro. Live music includes Carson Cameron at Bank Gastro Bar, Sean McCollin at the Cove Inn, Ruben DeGroot as part of the Soundwaves concert series at Spicer's Dockside Grill, and open mic night at Hotel Wolf Island. Thursday starts with the Kingston Public Market in Springer Market Square running throughout the day. The Central Branch Library hosts 20-something Thursday trivia night in the evening. While Cruise for a Cause sets sail from Crawford Wharf. Queen's University's Thrive 365 series also presents Culture in Action, Storytelling, Anxiety, and Resilience with acclaimed author David A. Robinson. Music highlights include Lotus White at the Cove Inn, J.S. Miller on the Helm Dockside Patio, Ted Lalonde at the Time Out Bar, Beats working at the RCHA Club, and the Good Brothers at the Broom Factory. Friday brings a packed lineup of arts, music, and community events. Cultivate Arts Common hosts meditation in the gallery with Jay Bidarthi in the morning, while the Isabel Turner Branch celebrates summer with the library after-hours kickoff party for teens. The Tet Center also welcomes artist-in-residence Jarena Lee for a studio exhibition and artist talk. Music fans can check out the opening day of the Power of Positivity Music Festival at Line Spike Frontenac, while Dev Fest 2026 gets underway featuring artists including The Trues, The Strumbellas. Other highlights include Elvis Returns at The Sphere, Christopher Jackson at The Caesar Company, Big Smoke Brass at the RCHA Club, and Guilty Pleasures at Time Out Bar. Heading into Saturday, there is no shortage of things to do. The Kingston Public Market returns downtown, while the Charbot Lake Farmers Market and Live at the Library featuring Zoo Crew offer family-friendly options. Pride Month celebrations continue with Books and Beans at the Central Branch Library, and the Tet Center hosts its art-making workshop, Your Mark, Echoing from Within. Music highlights include two of the Power Positivity Music Festivals featuring Casador, Harm and Ease, and Will and Company, as well as Deaf Fest 2026. You can also catch the BJX Bon Jovi experience at the Sphere, Long Range Hustle and Matt Basnett at the Broom Factory, the Big Fat Horn Band at the RCHA Club, and Ave of Wands at Hotel Wolf Island. Wrapping things up Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market returns from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., while the Cataraqui Indigenous Market takes place at Confederation Park. If you're looking for something a little different, puppies and jazz combine adorable dogs and live music at the Caesar Company. Music lovers can enjoy the final day of the Power Positivity Festival featuring Rain Madden and Miss Emily. Head over heels at the Cove Inn and live music Sundays at Finkel Shore Park. That's your weekly events and concerts calendar for June 22nd through the 28th. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. Be sure to check out their upcoming shows and events throughout the season. I'm Jenny, and thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Are you listening from inside a local prison, or do you have a friend or loved one in a local prison or youth detention center? Calls from Home is a monthly radio program for you. On Calls from Home, we share voicemails, messages, song requests, and dedications. Anyone can contact us with a message or song request for a friend or loved one on the inside. To get in touch, call or text 613-917-1390. Email cfrcprisonradio@riseup.net or send us a message on Instagram at cfrcprisonradio. The CFRC radio signal reaches the following local and regional prisons. Millhaven, Bath, Collins Bay and Frontenac, Joyceville and Pittsburgh, the Sundance Youth Detention Center here in Kingston, Quinte in Napanee, and the Cape Vincent Correctional Facility in upstate New York. Messages and song requests will be broadcast once per month on Wednesday between 7 and 8 p.m. here on CFRC 101.9 FM or on the web at cfrc.ca. For 2025, Calls from Home will air on the following dates: April 16th, May 14th, June 11th, July 9th, August 6th, September 3rd, October 1st, October 29th, November 26th, and December 24th. Please send in your message at least one day before the broadcast date. These upcoming show dates, contact info, and additional information is available online at cfrc.ca or on Instagram at CFRC Prison Radio. We look forward to receiving your messages and sharing them over the airwaves.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Cuomo! Cuomo, my goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
Featuring the latest songs from artists in Canada and from around the world.
Hosted by DJs from coast to coast to coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily.
Welcome to Earshot Daily. I'm your host, Dan Politano. I hope everyone's having a great day today. Spend some time in the afterglow of a sleeping city and you may just pick up on the threads that Ben Rowley has spun into Super Pyramid. Alongside a network of collaborators, Ben has distilled into a full-length LP the music that has been flowing through him since he moved from Vancouver to Montreal at the end of a Cross Canada tour. I'm going to play two songs by Super Pyramid. The first one is Better Angels and the next one is Dead in the Water.
So where do we go from here?
This is Canada's Music.
Earshot Daily.
Never used to see the writing on the wall. Run the numbers, but they don't add up at all. Check the math again in case you got it wrong. Dead in the water, don't remember how to swim.
Those last two songs were Super Pyramid from Montreal. A Sea of Gold and Burgundy is a group of three songwriters and multi-instrumentalists based out of Niagara Falls, Ontario. They've written on and released nearly 20 albums. They have reunited after over a decade apart. In the long pandemic shutdown, the group rediscovered a sense of the magic and the joy that made them want to form the band in the first place. This is A Sea of Gold and Burgundy with We Shall Rise to This.
Cyclone Pam hits Vanuatu like a freight train. Waves are formed from whispers as we watch our planet change. Songs that sing themselves go rattling in my brain. To take the daily misery that pours right from the drains. We shall rise to this. We shall.
place we want our liberty. Get tied up and restrained. It is profit over people as the order of the day. How long will we watch as our mother writhes in pain? As the corporate aristocracy lets blood out of her veins. We shall rise to this. We shall rise to this. I believe that we shall rise to this. We shall rise to this. 'Cause we've never been the kind who are short on good ideas. And we've never been the kind to shy down from challenges. So let's put our hearts together for our children and our future. And let's put our hearts together for the children and the future. We shall rise to this. We shall rise to this. I believe that we shall rise to this.
As the water rises,
we shall rise to this. I believe that we shall rise to this.
As the water rises,
we shall rise to this. As the water rises, as the water rises,
as the water rises,
we shall rise to
this. The way music was meant to be.
Earshot Daily.
I can see right through you.
Thank you so much for tuning into this edition of Earshot Daily. I'm your host, Dan Politano, and that last one was mine called Innocence Arose. That's from my first album in 2005 called Staring With My Eyes Closed. If you'd like more information on me, you can visit me online at danpolitano.com. I also host the Dad Life podcast, which is available on all streaming platforms, and a new one called Beyond the Mainstream that's available on YouTube. If you're an artist and want to get a chance to get on the show, check out earshot-distro.ca for more information. Combine the Victorious lives in Vancouver, BC, and writes music that is inspired by 90s trip-hop meets alternative rock. Mark Henning was a founding member of the band Pure, while Isabel Dunlop has previously recorded and toured with Sex With Strangers. The two have been joined by longtime guitarist Daniel Clement. The three have begun writing a full-length album with the intention of touring the Western world in support. The song is called Monsoon Afternoon.
today's music.
Woo! Today's music from Earshot's digital distribution system.
As you lay dying in your hospital bed,
last one was Nottingham by Nate Sheridan. I got time for one more song. Teeth Out is a new skate punk band from Charlottetown, PEI, formed in 2024. Made up of very middle-aged men trying to do things like they were 30 again. Inspired by the 90s punk sound, they bring an energetic style and catchy melodies that are sure to grab attention. The song is off their album Brittle But Elite. It's called To The End.
Ghosting!
Thank you so much for tuning into this edition of Earshot Daily. I'm your host, Dan Politano, and I'm from Victoria, BC. Remember, you can visit me online at danpolitano.com. We'll be back tomorrow with another half hour of brand new material from all across the country here on the Earshot Daily show. To provide feedback, send us an email at earshotdaily@ncra.ca. I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Earshot Daily,
heard across the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca and support community radio at ncra.ca.
Until tomorrow, or Monday if it's Friday.
I've never met a dal I didn't like. If you are a fan of dal or lentil curry too, listen to The Dal Project on CFRC 101.9 FM, Thursdays from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Join me, Sayada, in learning to cook many kinds of dal or lentil curry from across the South Asian diaspora, while talking about culture, migration, and memory.
Hey, friggin' buddy here, coming to you live from Spicer's Dockside Grill, you know, over on Wolf Island there. It's friggin' beauty over here.